Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. There's still time to go to the beach, so let's head to some places few people know about. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is September 23rd, 2013, and we are on a travel article today and tomorrow. We're heading to the beach, and it's the tail end of summer. Here it is, September, but still some nice weather in many parts of the world, many parts of the United States, and it is a great time, actually, to go to the beach because during the summertime, beaches get really crowded in the United States, and they become too crowded. You can't even move around in June and July and even early August. And I always enjoyed going to the beach in September. It was great because, of course, schools had started back up, and you could go for a weekend and really enjoy your time there. And a lot of people know about some famous beaches in America, like Miami Beach or maybe some of the other beaches in Hawaii, like Maui. But we've got half a dozen beaches we're going to talk about today and tomorrow that maybe people didn't hear about and might be good destinations for you if you wish to relax. Well, I've got two heavy-duty travelers here in the studio with me today and tomorrow. Joanna Wirtz and Lois Fisk. Hi, panelists.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah, now Joanna is from the great state of Texas, and in fact, there are some beaches there. Yes, people don't think of Texas and beaches, but there are actually some very good beaches in southern Texas.
There are a few. There's a handful. The more famous ones are like Galveston and maybe Corpus Christi. I think they're better known for their boardwalks and their, you know, mom and pop shops than the actual pristine beaches. If you're looking for a pristine beach in the States, you're better suited to look somewhere like California or Florida, I think.
Okay.
But Texas, it has a few nice beach places.
Well, what about Padre Island?
I've been a couple of times.
Is it a good beach, or has it become too popular with the college crowd?
Avoid it on spring break at all costs.
Okay.
All costs. Just avoid it. Don't come near it. But otherwise, it's okay.
That's actually a good tip for all of our travelers from overseas. Be aware, in the early spring in the United States, the universities take a spring break, and a popular activity for many college students is to go to the beach locations, whether it's Padre Island or South Florida, some places, maybe Southern California, for spring break. Avoid the beaches during spring break. Avoid the beaches.
That's for sure.
It's like it's a zoo.
It's just drunk college kids.
Yeah, you don't want to
drunk college kids. They're no fun. Don't go near them.
Make sure you verify this with either your travel agent or maybe somebody from America that would know about this and who can give you some good advice. Lois Fisk is from the Great North, northern part, Canada.
Yeah.
But I know she's been to many, many beaches, though.
Yeah, I have been to many beaches in the USA, and then there's many beaches that actually the United States and Canada share, and of all places, they're not on salt water. They're the Great Lakes.
Yeah.
And I think there's some awesome beaches.
Yeah.
In fact, Hollywood has used a few in Ontario.
Well, we're not going to talk about the Great Lake beaches in the article, but today and tomorrow we will mention a couple of the locations in the Great Lakes in the Midwestern part of the country. That's a good point, Lois, because there's some excellent places to go, some beaches right around the Great Lakes. And actually, that would be a nice twist for everybody, maybe a different vacation to go to the Great Lakes beaches. Well, why don't we do this? Let's turn to page 36 in your Advanced magazine, and we will break up our reading today into three sections for each one of the beaches we talk about today.
USA's underrated beaches.
fewer people, untouched nature, you name it. These beach destinations are hidden gems. Vieques Island, Puerto Rico. This unique little island offers travelers pure, undeveloped land, mainly thanks to the U.S. Navy's former use of a good portion of the island. The Navy left in 2003, however, and the land it once occupied is now a national wildlife refuge. Tourists to Puerto Rico often don't leave the mainland as it takes an extra puddle jumper to get to Vieques, and there are few tourist attractions. Instead, attractions are nature-oriented. The island's stunning, untouched white sand beaches and famous bioluminescent bay are the highlights, but it also features walking trails, 300-year-old trees, and some of the top snorkeling spots in the country.
Okay, our first destination is Vieques Island. Is that how you said that, Joanna?
Yes, Vieques Island, Puerto Rico.
All right, so the island of Puerto Rico, which is southeast of Florida. Actually, it's going to be east of Cuba, and it's a great destination if you are going on a cruise or if you want to fly down there. And, of course, they speak Spanish in Puerto Rico, so of course they speak English also, but Spanish is the primary language. Now, first, let's go back to the deck. We say USA's, and the title, USA's Underrated Beaches. What do I mean by underrated?
Underrated, Bill, usually means we almost don't know anything about them, and they never get the star rating that some of the beaches in the United States get.
Okay, but underrated could be used for many, many things,
exactly.
Right? We might say that...
Underrated restaurant.
Joanna's an underrated singer.
That's right.
And if I say that, that means she doesn't get the credit she deserves, and maybe other people are more popular, but she's just as good.
I hear right? that about her dancing, too, Bill.
She's underrated in many things. So.
You'll never find out. I'm not showing you.
Now, what does our deck say, Joanna?
Fewer people, untouched nature, you name it. These beach destinations are hidden gems.
Okay. Well, that fewer people thing, it's interesting because here in Asia, going to the beach is not as popular as it is in America, from what I have seen. In America, people just flock to the beaches, especially on weekends in the summertime. It just gets – it's just so crowded. But it's – you know, so it's different from here in Asia. But also – you know, there's more to the beach. There's this untouched nature that you can see. Plants are, and the trees are so unique. When we say hidden gem, what do we mean?
It means something very valuable that few or no people know about. It's hidden, just mm-hmm. like, you know, a valuable gemstone.
Okay, like a diamond or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, now how do we start with our first beach, Vieques Island?
Right. We start with describing this unique little island. Offers travelers pure, undeveloped land. And what's interesting, and it's mainly thanks to the U.S. Navy's former use of the property there, Bill.
Okay, there are several islands around this area that the Navy and Army used as training bases. There's even one island, I can't remember the name of it, they used it actually as a target practice for their missiles and things like that. So, there was actually a lot of protesting about this. But fortunately, the military got out in 2003, but now it's kind of come around. It's a good place, right?
Yes. Now the Navy's left. It's allowed tourism to come in, but only just a little bit. They're saying that it's untouched, and the places where the Navy once occupied are now a wildlife refuge.
Okay. Refuge. What does that mean?
A safe place. A place where wildlife can live and not be threatened by human or humans.
Well, I'm also thinking of the word to we can say for humans, too. The term we use is refugees, mm-hmm. and that's actually a safe place. In many places where there's like war-torn areas, there right. will be refugees. They seek refuge, protection in some places. So it just means a safe place, whether it's animals or people. Now, poor tourists in Puerto Rico, they often don't do what?
Well, they often don't get to this island we're talking about today because it's not just, you know, a little wee walk over a bridge, or it's not like something they can maybe even go on a ferry for. They have to get on a puddle jumper. Mm-hmm. And when they're referring to that, Bill, they're talking about a small plane that actually only travels short distances. And I would imagine it's a float plane or with pontoons on.
Yeah. And I want to mention here, when they say here they don't leave the mainland, we're not talking about the continental United States. No. They mean the island, the larger island of Puerto Rico.
That's right. That's to them, that's their mainland.
Okay. And then if this puddle jumper, when I looked at the map, probably it's going to be maybe a 15-minute flight. Mm-hmm. At most.
Right.
Maybe even less than 15 minutes because it's very close. But it's got to be a small plane, a puddle jumper. So there are very few tourist attractions. So when you go there, don't expect to see an amusement park or, big fabulous golf courses. Instead, what am I going to see?
Well, you're going to see the island's stunning, untouched white sand beaches. Sounds amazing. And the famous bioluminescent bay. A bay that glows. That sounds cool.
It's wonderful. I saw that once at nighttime in Indonesia.
Okay.
Gili Trawangan. And it was Christmas Eve. And it actually seemed like there were the Christmas lights in the water, underneath the water, and I was looking at them, and that's what these people are seeing.
Well, that's, of course, one of our specialized terms, bioluminescent. What's it mean, Lois?
Okay, it means for a living organism to be producing a soft light.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's lots of these living organisms together, Bill, it actually doesn't seem that soft a light.
Yeah. Well, this, I was looking, doing some research on this, bioluminescence. Have you ever seen this, Joanna?
Not in the water. No, I don't think so.
Okay, because I was looking at some pictures, and they're individual fishes and organisms that actually emit light, and especially at night. There are special places that you can go to, and Vieques Island is one of them. You can go on boat tours at night. And yes, this is just like Life of Pi. Okay?
It's
if you saw Ang
totally
Lee's
like
film, this is it's actually, this exists in some places. You go out and it literally is glowing. The animals are moving around and they're giving off light at night. So that in itself would be worth the trip to this special place. So if you ever hear about this, make sure you take advantage of it and go see it once in a lifetime. It's an incredible sight to see. All right. In addition to this, Vieques Island also features
walking trails, really old trees, some 300 years old, and some of the top snorkeling spots in the country.
Okay. All right. Looks like a little bit of everything for people who enjoy nature if you want to get away from things. So consider that. A lot of people don't really, from Asia, don't think of Puerto Rico, but it is a great destination to completely get away from the big city lifestyle. Let's now head to Florida.
Jacksonville Beach, Florida. Jacksonville Beach is often overlooked for its Florida Beach destination counterparts, but the area offers several nice beaches and is home to world-renowned golf courses and a lively art scene. The beach scene in Jacksonville is a bit limited by the weather. Though the city experiences mild winters, the waters are too cold for beachgoers from November to March. But the upside is that, during the beach season, the sands are less crowded than southern Florida beaches and are still great spots for surfing, swimming, and fishing. Plus, rates in restaurants are often less expensive than those elsewhere in the state.
Okay, normally when we think of Florida, we think of Miami Beach or maybe Orlando and Disney World or even the Gulf Coast near Tampa and St. Petersburg. But a lot of people, they don't think about the northern part, and that is where the city of Jacksonville, Florida, is up in the northeastern part of the state. But we're talking about Jacksonville Beach in this section.
Yes, we are, Bill. And it says Jacksonville Beach is often overlooked for its Florida Beach destination counterparts. But obviously, okay. It shouldn't be. We're going to feature it today.
All right. And counterparts are just, that's one of our vocab focus terms as far as, you know, things that also have the same position or purpose as the others. And I just mentioned some of those cities and other destinations. Those are counterparts, Miami, Orlando, Tampa, to Jacksonville. They're much more popular with visitors. But
Jacksonville offers its own very nice beaches, and it's home to a world-renowned golf course and lively art scenes. So if maybe you want something to do after your day at the beach, you could go listen to some live music or maybe visit a museum.
Mm-hmm. Now, the beach scene in Jacksonville is a bit limited by weather. It's remarkable the different weather that they have in northern Florida compared to southern Florida. Southern Florida, again, the Miami area, the Keys, is very tropical, whereas Jacksonville is a much more moderate coastal climate, doesn't get as hot, and it gets a little bit colder in the summertime. But, you know, the winters are pretty mild. What about the waters, though?
Okay, it says the waters are too cold for beachgoers from November to March. But, Bill, I was thinking maybe the beachgoers aren't going to actually get in the water. They're just going to enjoy the walking and maybe sitting or laying out in the sand.
Well, a lot of people do like to do that, just lay on the beach and maybe not even go in the water. I always like to go in the water. Do you go in the water?
It depends on my mood. If it's really hot, I will. But I don't like the feeling of salt water drying on my skin. So that's just a personal preference. I'm kind of with Lois. I would possibly just stay on the beach and enjoy.
Yeah, I really enjoy the water, but I'm a person that can go to the beach, not get in the water, and just enjoy looking out at that ocean and that horizon that keeps going.
It's very calming.
Very
and relaxing.
Calming.
Yeah, that's right. You can spend hours there just laying there. And it is very calming just listening to the waves hit the beach. It put you to sleep sometimes. So be careful, though. Don't fall asleep at the beach without having enough sunblock on.
Exactly.
All right. So we talk about the winters. Maybe the water's a little too cold for beachgoers there in the wintertime. But the upside is?
The upside is that during beach season, the sands are less crowded than other more famous Florida beaches.
Okay. Now, what do we mean by upside?
The advantage, upside, downside. Upside are good things. Downside are negative aspects.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it is, yes, much less crowded than the beaches in the southern part of Florida. And, this is for people that want to get in the water then, though. It's still good for them, right?
Oh, yes, it sure is, because there's still some great spots to do surfing, swimming, and fishing, so you can keep yourself really, really active. And plus, rates on restaurants are often less expensive than those elsewhere in the state. So that would interest me, too, because I really want to go out to eat while I'm there.
Yeah, because if you do go to other parts of Florida, some of the restaurants can be extremely expensive, and you can spend a lot of money, one, on restaurants, and two, hotels are going to be much more expensive in like Miami and Tampa, places like that. Jacksonville, you can get very reasonable rates, so it's a good summer destination for you. And right around there's some other good places. There's we mentioned Jacksonville Beach here, but there's also Punta Vedra right near there, which is a very nice resort area. And then Marco Island.
Ooh.
And Marco Island is right off the coast of Jacksonville. It's very popular with people. And no, listeners, in case you're wondering, Marco Island was not named for our sound engineer, Marco Chuang. But I know that is going to be on his bucket list. Someday our sound engineer, Marco, will head to Marco Island.
Oh, yes, he just has to.
Yeah, now we're going to head to an island out in the Pacific.
Lanai, Hawaii. Like Vieques Island, Lanai is a bit difficult to get to. Most visitors take a ferry from Maui, which helps keep the island uncrowded despite its growing popularity as a luxe getaway. But with not a single stoplight on the island, it really doesn't need to be said that this island is a bit off of Hawaii's beaten path. Even though its jaw-dropping natural beauty, which includes cerulean ocean and lush forests, is its best asset, small-town coziness accompanies this undeveloped isle.
Okay, now we head way west, all the way out to Hawaii. That's about as far as you can get from Jacksonville Beach in Florida out to Hawaii. And where? What island are we at in Hawaii?
We're at Lanai.
Yeah.
Hawaii. Yes, okay. Sounds like a great time.
Well, I know you've been to Hawaii many times, right,
many
Lois?
Times, Bill. Yes, I love Hawaii, and I've done several of the islands, but I've only flown over this island, but have observed it flying over.
Okay, now, like Vieques Island, Lanai is a bit difficult to get to, right, Joanna?
Yes. Sounds like most visitors take a ferry from Maui, so it's not as easy. If tourists are looking for an easy one-stop vacation, they won't be venturing out here.
Yeah, normally in Hawaii, when people do go there, of course, they will just be flying between the islands. It's very common. There are so many flights between the islands. They have a small airport on Lanai, but for many people, it's just as easy just to get a boat, get the ferry from Maui to head over there. So now we see here the island is uncrowded despite its growing popularity as a luxe getaway.
Yeah, luxe getaway. We're hearing this word more and more, Bill, and it means expensive, elegant, and beautiful. So it means kind of like the beautiful people of the world go there. It is what they like to have and the quality they like.
You mean like you and Joanna?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's all right.
Match, yes.
Yeah.
Very much, right, Joanna?
Oh, yeah.
We're headed there next week, right?
All right. Now, the one good thing about this island I find kind of funny is there's not a single stoplight on the island. What does that mean?
It probably means there's not a lot of traffic.
Yeah. Can you believe that? There's not a red or green light intersection. Now, they probably have some flashing yellow lights there.
Yeah.
Sounds laid back. I think that's really what this sentence means. It's just really kind of a laid back, easygoing place. Not a stoplight on the island.
Well,
so,
Bill, 2 years ago I was in Kauai, and it seemed really laid back. So this must be almost falling asleep laid back.
Okay. One of the reasons it's laid back is we find out there it's off of Hawaii's beaten path.
Yes, when something is off the beaten path, it means it's a little bit harder to get to, not so popular, not so crowded. Just imagine a path. Imagine a well-worn path. And imagine, you know, you're hiking through the woods. Something's off the path, you mm-hmm. know. Not that many people go to it.
So in Hawaii, for instance, Waikiki would be the beaten path. That's where everybody goes.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
Or the city of Honolulu. You're right, Bill.
Right. So, but if you want to get off the beaten path, you head to Lanai or maybe nearby also to Molokai and just get away from people and get away from the crowds. Actually, I recommend that to our travelers here from Asia. Don't necessarily, of course, you have to land in Honolulu, but everybody thinks of going to Maui or maybe the Big Island. But you might want to head off to some of these islands like Lanai or Molokai, just for a completely different experience,
yeah.
Right?
Right, and Kauai's off the beaten path for sure because mm-hmm. it takes the most distance to get there from coming in Honolulu.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. Now, how long does it take to fly from Honolulu to Kauai?
Oh, goodness, Bill. It would be, I don't know, 40 minutes?
Yeah.
With that?
It's
yeah.
pretty far, actually.
Yeah,
surprising.
It is. It was surprisingly further than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, the Hawaii yeah. Islands actually are pretty spread out. So that's why, of course, they've got the flights between all of the islands. So now get back to Lanai. We learn about its jaw-dropping natural beauty.
That includes cerulean ocean and lush forests. Cerulean is a word that describes a shade of blue, so mm-hmm. deep blue. I love nice, clean, clear blue ocean. I think that's one of the most beautiful mm-hmm. aspects of a nice beach.
Yeah, think of the crystal blue color. So now, jaw-dropping.
Oh, in other words, it takes your breath away. It's just incredible. Mm-hmm. You get there and you go, yes, it was worth every cent of money I had to spend to get here.
All right, and we learned that is the best asset of Lanai, right?
Yes, asset being aspect or good things about something.
Mm-hmm. Okay, small-town coziness accompanies this undeveloped isle.
Sounds like this is just a really uncrowded, relaxing place where you still have nice things. If you're looking for a luxury getaway, you can have that. But there's not so many people. There's not so many big town things about it. It's a small town, relaxing, you know, go to the beach and do nothing kind of vacation.
Right. A complete switch from what, you might run into it on Oahu and Honolulu.
Right. And, Bill, the nice thing about these smaller Hawaiian islands is you often get to have a chat with the locals a lot more, and they're not in such a hurry.
Yeah. Now, one thing we did mention at the beginning was that there are some great places in the Great Lakes, some good beaches, right, Lois? And right in the center of America.
Yeah, there's some fabulous ones, whether you're on the American side or Canadian side. And like I said, some have been used for movies and claim they're another spot, but they're actually there. One I would mention to our readers, because it's easy to access whether you're visiting Canada or the U.S., is Sandbanks. And it's called Sandbanks Provincial Park. It was used in a movie called Fly Away Home, and they claimed it was South Carolina coastline.
Now, where is this?
This is on Lake Ontario.
Okay.
2 hours east of Toronto, location.
Okay, near Toronto. All right.
So, and you won't be disappointed.
Our listeners are very familiar. Many of them travel to Toronto, so there's a beach. People don't think of Toronto and a beach.
Oh, it's fabulous. It's about a two-hour drive, maybe 2 hours and 10 minutes. The sand is wonderful. The water is beautiful. And it's also a great place if any of our readers are into windsurfing or kite surfing. There's a lot of that done there.
All right. Now, I'm thinking of another place in Michigan. I think it is on Lake Michigan. It's called Sleeping Bear Dunes. And this is actually, it was chosen. There are all sorts of polls. Where people are they have surveys. But Sleeping Bear Dunes is an incredible place. High dunes, but also famous beach there. It was chosen as like one of the most attractive places in the United States. So you wouldn't think of it, Great Lakes. But it's a great way to get away from the crowded places and a whole different vibe.
And the best thing, Bill, they're not salt water.
That's good. That's right. So if you're worried about skin and things like that, Great Lakes might be the option for you. Listeners, thanks for joining us for day one of USA's Underrated Beaches. Come on back tomorrow as we learn about more great beaches in America. We'll see you then.